Good morning. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. This was given from God to Moses, and then Moses passed it on to the children of Israel. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, their children after them, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and his commands that I'm giving you. Why? Notice the proviso here. So that you may enjoy what? Long life. Long life. So then the word of the Lord in verse 3 says, hear Israel and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. Do you know that if we walk in the statutes and obedience to the word of God, it will be well with us? And the implication is if we teach it, it goes well not only with us, it goes well with our kids, it goes well with their kids, if we, as long as we are staying in the parameters of that right now, that it may go well, that you may increase greatly in a land that's flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord the God of your ancestors has promised. So hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's no other. Now, they already heard back in Exodus, there will be no other gods before me. There is only one God. So he says, love. Now, who is this to? This first came to Israel. Well, Moses, then he sent it to the children of Israel, and then it was to be sent to the head of the house, and then to be passed down to the children and the children's children. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Jesus even repeated this. And with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Remember now, for 2 weeks, it's one thing to know the word in our head, but the concept of it was it does no good in our head. It's nothing more than a memory verse. But then when it gets deep, it guides us. It's the boundary. It's the parameter. It's the roadmap. It keeps us from going off to the side of the road. Love the Lord God. These commandments that I give you today are being on my heart. And notice the duty of verse 7. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Impress them. We've tried our best to impress them on our children. The first one, we needed to work a little bit harder. We had to sometimes emphasize it a little bit more to get it into him. Now at his age, in his mid-30s, if you wake him up in the middle of the night, if you shook him in the night and woke him up, and he lives in another city, he has another job, he's got his own family, is a wife and a dog, and they're out there, he lives in the suburbs. But if you woke him up and asked him, what verse do you remember the most being given to you? Do you remember the verse?
Yep, foolishness is bound in.
You sell it the way you told it.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from you.
There you go. Ask me how far I drove it. Impress it on your children. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates. All of this so that you may live a long life. All of this so that they will walk in blessing. All of this, it starts with the word of the Father. I heard a rock group on the radio the other day, and it was one of these alternative sounding, and I said, well, that's a strange type sound. And all of a sudden, I started listening to the words, and one of the hook lines says, there are no men in no man's land. Well, that's where we are today. 1 Corinthians, the New American Standard Bible, says it this way, 1 Corinthians 16. It says, be on your, this is the dads, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, act like men. Act like men. Our call today is for the guys. Linda was very loving in what she said, and she's right, because we need help. We need direction. Yeah, we need nurturing too, but the bottom line is, our quest is, we need to make men, men again. That's our title today. All right, and it says, as you go on your way, as you sit down, bind it to your door, pin it to your door, put it on your forehead. So make men, men again is our call. How? In our words, in our examples, in our walk, and even in our love, the way we express it. And it's okay to express our love. Make men, men again. The goal for each dad, you want the real goal for each dad? The goal for each dad today is to live your life so that the preacher doesn't have to lie about you at the funeral. You got it? Live your life in such a way so the preacher does not have to lie at your funeral. That's really what you have to do. I've done a few funerals where we just kind of had to ignore who was in the box and work on the people that were still there. Just that, thank God. It's like you read this thing in the Bible, and they go, and there's one guy there that was obviously just didn't leave a mark at all. It said so-and-so lived. Next line, so-and-so died. I mean, there's nothing consequential in the middle about this fella right here. The proud parents, and they're different in every generation. Proud parents in the 1940s, a proud parent might have said, my son is a colonel. A proud parent in the 60s said, my son's a doctor. In the 80s, my son works on Wall Street. In the 2000s, my son started a tech company. In the 2020s, my son is a woman. It's kind of where we are. First off, as Linda said, moms and dads have different jobs. I would rather say they have different God-ordained roles. They are different. Thank God for the difference. They should complement each other, and it's not easy at times, but they should. That's why it's so important to get the right one. You got to find the right one. One guy was on a dating app, and he had a girl on the other side. He wrote, can you cook? She wrote back, can you change my oil and my flat tire? He wrote back, not on an empty stomach, he said. In 2022, dads don't have it easy. The attempt to dismantle the tradition masculinity is the mission. The intentional weakening, the feminization of men is in full gear right now. And if you can break down that role, the rest of the dominoes fall very, very easily. Don't fall for it right now. You got to understand that relationship is the most consequential thing. How many of you believe in science? Very people believe in. I believe in science. I believe in an X chromosome. I believe in the Y. That's science. There are only two. There's 64 other mental disorders, but there's only two that God created right now. You break this down, you demean it, and you don't do it, and it starts with a subtle demeaning. It starts with a subtle demeaning there. We live in a time where dads today don't even speak the same language as some of the people around them, unfortunately. The millennial kid from the Geek Squad says to the dad that's having trouble, he said, I don't even think you know where the hard drive is. The dad said, listen to me right now, son. He said, I've driven across country with my wife, three kids, and a dog. I know what a hard drive is, he said. We speak different languages at times. But the bottom line thought, we need to make men, men again. It is said children who grow up without the father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 20 times more likely to even end up in prison. The father's faith, or the lack of a father's faith, has repercussions. Dr. Paul Vitz of NYU, not a professing Christian, but he's examined the situation. History's most notorious atheists had fathers who were from frequently tyrannical, weak, or absent fathers. Now let me just stop right here. Let me say something right now. Already I've got a half an audience looking at me saying, well, yeah, but you don't know what I've had to deal with. Some of you wonderful ladies had a responsibility dropped on you. Grandmothers, aunts, moms. And without you, they'd be dead today. They wouldn't be here. So don't mistake the fact that I'm reading what the word says, that demeans what you have done. That means that God gave you an extra an extra anointing, an extra outpouring, an extra ability to walk through some, an extra bit of grace that somebody else would not have had. I honor that, but it doesn't mean that that's like when you talk about things in the world, just because it maybe the mores have changed, you don't need to be ashamed of what the word says. Somebody will say to me, do you think so-and-so? I said, wait, you're asking me a question. You know who I am. You know what I do. I'm going to answer what I think the word says. Then it's up to you to deal with it right now. So don't pin me in a corner with that. That doesn't stop me from speaking what the word says. It is the ideal way, but some of us in this house today have had to work, and I honor you today. I lift you up today. I bless you today. You walk out, look in the mirror and say, girl, you did it. And in Jesus' name. And do you understand my but that should never get me to the point that I deny. Are there quack doctors? Yes. Are there people that do what I do that are nuts? Yes. But that doesn't mean they're all that way. And you understand? So I want to honor you today. So let's get back to the making men men again. Recently in the state of Florida, Tony Dungy, who is used to be the great coach of Indianapolis Colts and the Buccaneers. He's on NBC now. He's a godly man. On the Sunday mornings when you see him on Sunday evening football on TV, he's in New York City at the studio. That morning, he was either walking in Central Park with praise music or he was on the front row at Brooklyn Tabernacle. You just need to know that right now. Tony Dungy is a godly man right now. And recently, Tony Dungy and Governor DeSantis of Florida jointly together released an initiative to encourage men to be good fathers. And a huge reason why the crime is the way it is, it's the lack of fathers in every community. But do you know that he was skewered? Tony Dungy on social media was hung out to dry. How dare you? How dare you? What are you? Are you becoming one of them type, in a derision? What were they talking about? They were talking about asking men to step up to be fathers. Tony Dungy has an organization you might want to look up one day called All Pro Dads. All Pro Dads. Tony Dungy is a man of God right now. But look, it was amazing to me they were talking and what they said about him, because how dare you join that man and write that. He was attacked, he was demeaned, but let me tell you about Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy adopted 8 children. He lost one of his 3 biological children. Who cares who signed it with him? It's a good initiative. I wish our governor would sign something like that. Fatherhood is a worthy cause. I applaud Tony Dungy and the All-Pro Dad for working across party and racial lines to ensure state and local federal officials understand the importance of supporting and encouraging fathers. Tony Dungy, a man of integrity. Get his book. We bought his book for our boys. Here's what Tony Dungy had to release. And the fact that he even had to release a statement is demeaning, and it shows you where we are today. Tony Dungy, man of God. 2 days ago, I spoke on behalf of a Florida bill that supports dads and families, and it appears I offended some people. 14 years ago, President Obama said the very same thing verbatim. I signed that. So I'm assuming people were outraged at him too. But I'm serving the Lord, and I'm supporting dads, and I'm supporting families. Tony Dungy. Bam. Thank you. Good night. Drive safe. Tony Dungy imparted to his players. I heard an interview with Robert Mathis, who was just a beast on the field, a combination defensive end and linebacker. Robert Mathis would wreak havoc. He gave the Saints a lot of trouble. And they interviewed him the other day about Tony Dungy, about this situation. He said, let me tell you something. It's been a lot of years since I played for Tony Dungy, but I remember what was put inside of me about being a man. And the interviewer said, what do you mean? He said, I'll tell you 5 things right now. He said, he used to get us in the locker room, and he's talking about the things that are out there to tempt ball players. I've been around him, okay, and I know. And he said that would tempt ball players. And he said, I'm going to give you 5. And he would review every Saturday with us the 5 things, 5 reasons athletes will get into scandals. Tony Dungy wrote this, and he said, here's the first rule. And Robert Mathis is telling it, and the guy's sitting there. The look on his face is, I'm getting more than I asked for. Number 1, don't be out past midnight. Now this is what a dad would tell a kid: no guns or drugs, no alcohol. Women you know too well are not enough. You got that? These are some problems, and he is telling them to beware. What was he? Tony Dungy, as a man of God, was teaching those young men. It's still a God thing. to be an example. Regarding the children, Tony was an example. The example is more important than what you say. Someone once said, adulthood is often more caught than taught. It is more often caught than taught. Never more true as a child would watch a father, how he handles things. He's going to leave a good or a bad example. Some of you have grown because you saw a bad example as a kid and you decided you would not do that. That's learning. That's good. God even used that to bring you here. An example is irreplaceable asset to kids. The word said in 1 Kings chapter 15, we'll read it in a few weeks. It said, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as David, his father, had done. He watched David, and you're going to meet Asa down the road. That he modeled that. He did that. The way a dad loves becomes the template for the child as they look at other relationships. The dad's response becomes a template down the road. And maybe they don't have it right now with some of the ones that you raise, and you're believing God for that. But it is there. It's in there. It's there. One of the great ways that they can show a template is loving their mother. Loving their mother. Model it. Let them see it. 1 Thessalonians, Paul said in chapter 2, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with, stop, or as a father should deal with, this, okay? It you can add that to it. As we learned it as he did, and then you can learn by if they don't there. He said with his own children, and what is the job? Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you to his kingdom and his glory. That's the job description. Encourage, comfort, and urge to live a life worthy of God. There's a payoff. How many of you like when something pays off? Oh, we all do. We've done things that don't pay off. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4 in the Passion Translation. It is the greatest joy of my life. Or in other words, nothing makes me happier than to hear my children are consistently living their lives in the way of truth. Isn't that good? What a good line, right? That's the Passion Translation. Proverbs 20, verse 7 in the NIV says, the righteous lead blameless lives, and blessed are their children after them. Is that good? That's pretty good. The real key here, though, is that natural dad is emulating, or should be emulating, spiritual dad. God meant this relationship to reflect how he relates to us as our Heavenly Father. We see this exemplified by fathers in the Bible, the dad that God will bless. The comparison is so strong. How many of you want to be the dad that God will bless? We're working at it. Boy, we make mistakes. Boy, we mess up. Boy, we throw the shoe sometimes. But just pray for us. We're weak and we're men. We just don't understand. We're not bright yet. We're learning. The fathers in the Bible exemplified the one that God will bless. The ones who did not lead a good example, God used that also to learn. Everything in the scripture can be a lesson for us right now. I told you this comparison. The way that Jesus spoke to describe God was to do a comparison that they could understand. This is why there is a demeaning of the father role. Many years ago, I was speaking about a father and things like that, maybe on a day like this. And somebody said after, I can't go with you on that, because that man who was supposed to be my father, he hurt me. He abused me. It was wrong. First off, you don't have a good answer for it, except in the word, not in the natural. My natural word was, man, I'm so sorry for that. I'm so sorry for that. But I do want you to know God sees. God knows. God hears. God's got a scorecard. And there will be a day that will be all lined up. But in the meantime, I just want you to know, even as you have recognized this, this is the antenna that reaches the signal that says, hey, don't make that same mistake. Don't make that same mistake. And then this one was a lady. Then in the one that you are seeking, many times the psyche is a funny thing. Many times they will end up going to the same sort of personality that was abusive to them. And I said, you need to put your antenna up and ask for godly discernment there. And I'm telling you something, there are worse things than being by yourself. And it means like waking up in hell every morning. And I said, I just want you to know, God, I'm just believing God will bring a healing to that. First, the priority is that person and that the healing is in their heart. Let the other things take care of themselves. And I spoke love. So the picture of the word, and Jesus explained it so natural man could understand it. Matthew 7, Jesus said, so which one of you, he's talking about love, example, which one of you, if his son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he would ask you for a fish, would give him a serpent? Stop right there. It's already one of those things. Well, duh. It's the natural thing to want to do those things. The natural thing to love. Reading a business book one time, I told the cruel joke. The father put the little fellow up on the refrigerator. He said, jump to dad. He jumped and he caught him and he spun. And he took him and put him up again, jumped, caught him, and he spun around. Put him up a third time, and the little fella jumped. And right after, as he jumped, the father stepped away. Boom, hits the floor. And the father said, let that be a lesson to you. Never trust anybody. It's kind of cruel, isn't it? But there is a good, good father. So if he asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? This is really, really kind of funny. Jesus, at the same time, he's teaching a story and he's smacking him with his elbow at the same time. Because here's what he said. If you, who are evil, is that pretty funny? Is that pretty good? That sounds like a mom, doesn't it? Yeah. If you're evil. But if you, who are evil, know how to give a good gift to your children, three words ought to just touch your heart today. How much more? How much more will your Father, your Heavenly Father, that supersedes it all, your Heavenly Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask? So if you've got father pictures in the natural, that might be a little difficult. I understand that. But how much more does a Heavenly Father want to give when we ask? That's where the healing goes. Following Tony Dungy's model right now, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, start children off on the way they should go. And even when they're old, they're not going to turn from it. Here's the mirroring, the modeling. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that great? So my word is saying right now, step up, men. Be encouraged. God is with you. The word is on your side. Act like men, as I read in the first verse there. Here's something you need to understand. Your faithfulness or your lack of faithfulness will be your legacy. Your faithfulness will be your legacy. Your faithfulness will be the legacy. Someone wrote it this way and said, be a man who leaves a mark, not a scar. Be a man who leaves a mark, not a scar. We can't do that on our own. We feel overwhelmed. Lord, help us. That's what we're saying. Be the man who leaves a mark, not a scar. We love to listen to Greg Laurie. He's a great preacher in California. He's a gifted communicator. I heard him the other day say something, and I quickly grabbed it and transcribed it quickly. Said a father and his young son were climbing a mountain. They came to a very difficult place in the trail. The father was thinking about which way he should go. While he was deliberating, he heard his son's voice behind him said, choose the right path, Dad. I'm coming right behind you. Wow. Remember that. Some friends of ours a few years ago wrote these lyrics. What this dying world could use is a willing man of God who dares to go against the grain and who works without applause. A man who will raise the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure. God doesn't need another orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men. And the chorus says, men full of compassion, who laugh, who love, and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who will fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. The call today is to make men, men again. Let's stand. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your blessing. We pray for each dad. Every dad that's in the room, put your right hand up in the air. Put your right hand in the air. I want you to look around. If you don't have your hand up, I want you to look around. You know, if you're near a dad and there's nobody near them, somebody just put a hand on their left shoulder there just to speak blessing to them on this day. Just touch their shoulder, each one. Make sure somebody is touching every shoulder of every dad in this deal today. Lord, we thank you today for your blessing. We thank you today for your word. We thank you for the anointing. Men, be men again. Act like men. Take your place. Don't be afraid. Somebody's following behind, so choose the right path. Everybody, put your right hand up right now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord grant you peace in your coming and in your going. May there be laughter moments. May there be blessed moments. May there be teaching moments. May there be unexpected blessing moments. Some of you guys haven't had a belly laugh in a long time. Let there be joy in your house in Jesus' name. Let the word of life come to each of you. Walk in healing, walk in deliverance, walk in blessing, and walk in plenty. And everybody said,